Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about books we'd like to recommend.
And Kevin Troller is joining us today with a book that is completely different from the previous two that he recommended. Which one did you want to start with?
Yeah, so I'd like to start with the book Same Kind of Different as Me, and this is written by Ron Hall and Denver Moore, and there's books that could be just written about the two of them, but they've written this book and one more called Working Our Way Back Home. So we'll start with Same Kind of Different as Me.
And how did you find out about those books?
So I went to the Texas City Managers Conference recently, which was in Fort Worth, Texas, and they have fabulous keynote speakers, and one of them one day was this guy named Ron Hall, was an author. And he was going to talk about a true life story about him and an ex-con homeless man. And I said, I think we've actually done a book review on that. We had done something here.
Yeah, I think it was a part of Gulf Coast Reads like several years ago or something like that.
Yeah.
So he, amazing true story. So Ron Hall is a billionaire art dealer in Fort Worth. Grew up, had a lot of money. He and his wife, affluent friends, everything. He's selling art all over the world. And his wife has a dream. And she sees this poor black man, and the essence of the dream is there's this poor man that's going to change our city. And that's what she tells her husband. There's a poor man that's going to change our city. Well, Ron wasn't faithful to his wife. The marriage survived, and his wife asks him to join him, to join her in the homeless shelters. So they're serving food in the homeless shelters when this violent black gentleman walks in brandishing a bat, and he's creaming everything inside. He's knocking over tables. He's breaking windows. He's just violent.
Dude.
And Ron is actually behind the cabinets, hunkered down, and his wife is looking at this man, and she taps Ron on the shoulder and says, Ron, that's the man of my dreams. You have to become friends with him. And that's how it all starts.
She didn't tell him how or anything. So.
No?
Yeah, he's behind the cupboard like, okay. Okay, I'll try.
That's it. That's it. And Denver Moore, as he's later, and that was his real name, he was known in the streets as Suicide, and there's a reason his name was Suicide. Very violent ex-con that lived next to a dumpster on the street, had lived in the streets all his life. He was a poor child from Louisiana. His father was a sharecropper. He had run-ins. The only run-ins he had with whites, he had one small friend as a boy. But as a teenager, he had a rope thrown around his neck and he was drugged behind three horses. So,
oh my gosh.
So the whole white culture was not something that he had any use for. So he's a homeless man on the streets, and here he's coming to the shelter to get food twice a day. And this woman, Debbie Hall, won't leave him alone.
So is she the one that came up and started talking to him then?
She is. What's your name? What do you do? Get that woman out of my business, he used to say all the time. And she just kept pursuing and kept pursuing him. And then she told Ron after the dream, that's the man. You have to become friends. This man's going to change our city.
Wow.
So can you tell us a little bit about what they do together once they get to know each other?
Yeah,
how do they change the city?
Yeah, it's a long process, you know. So Ron would just show up down on the streets and he would gradually take Denver to restaurants or museums or other places. He really did develop a friendship that took a very long time because Denver didn't trust anybody.
Yeah, I'm sure it would take time to gain trust.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So he just started small. I'll take you out once a week and we'll get a hamburger, or I'll take you to a museum, or I'll just do something with you. And over time, especially in the movie, you see this relationship with the two. What you don't see so much of is Debbie, who started it all. She's always talking to the people in the homeless shelter. She's always talking to Denver. Although the story is really the friendship of Ron and Denver. But the wife is always there encouraging people. She never would let it die. She just had a kind, loving heart for everybody. She was as genuine as they come. Ron and Denver, over time, just become friends. They hand out money to other homeless people. And it just takes off from there.
So how eventually were they able to help Denver?
Yeah, so that's a good question. Because Denver, throughout his whole life, ex-con, living on the streets, he was who he was. And over time, he asks Ron, there's a lot of Denverisms that we can get into later, some of the things Denver used to say, because he didn't read, he didn't write. They always felt that he truly was blessed by God because he had incredibly prophetic things he used to say all the time to people. So he would ask Ron, when Ron gave him a hamburger, Ron gave him a dollar. He goes, what do you think you're doing for me? And Ron would say, I'm helping you. He says, oh, you're not helping me. He goes, if you want to help me, you climb in the hole, you bandage my wound until I'm good enough to crawl on your back and you carry me out of the hole. In other words, you live like I live and you truly change my life. He goes, you're not helping me. You're blessing me. You gave me a hamburger. You took me here. You're spending time with me. So you've blessed me, but you haven't helped me. Help me is to completely change my life. And that's honestly what they did. Another saying that it used to say was, when you is precious to God, you become important to say, watch your back. So they got far enough through their friendship, and he said that sentence to Ron. He said, God is watching what Debbie's doing, and Debbie honestly cares for all of us, which means Satan is mad. Something bad's going to happen to Miss Debbie. And within months of saying that, Debbie had cancer, and Debbie died 19 months later.
Wow. Did Ron continue her work after she passed away?
Yeah, great question. The answer is yes, he did. They both did.
Mm-hmm.
But as Debbie was dying and it was coming closer to the end, she should have died much sooner than 19 months, but she hung on, and there wasn't much left of her. She couldn't do anything. And one day, Denver came to the house and he told Ron the reason she's hanging on is because she had this mission in the homeless community.
Mm-hmm.
And he believed that she wasn't leaving until that mission was going to go on. And so Denver told Debbie, you can leave because I will pick up the torch. I will pick up your torch and I will do what you did.
Wow.
And she died a day later. So he made a commitment that he and Ron would carry on what Debbie was doing in the homeless world.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that? Ron completely turned over the billion-dollar art business to his son. He got completely out of the business.
Mm-hmm.
And his whole life focus, him in Denver, was to raise money for the homeless all over the United States. So they took the life of how they met and what they did on the street and how they became friends and everything that they did together. They took that on the road. They started speaking everywhere to all these groups and raising millions of dollars. They completely rebuilt the homeless shelter in Fort Worth. And after they did that, Atlanta came calling. Chicago came calling. Atlanta came calling. Everywhere they went, their mission was to tell the story about how Debbie worked in the life of the homeless people, how she brought Ron and Denver together, and ultimately now how Ron and Denver would continue on, and their whole life's purpose was now to help the homeless raise money and build new shelters.
And is that covered in both of the books that you bought, or do they have kind of different topics about Ron Hall and Denver?
So the first book, Same Kind of Different as Me, is the story of Debbie bringing Ron and Denver together, and then kind of through the life, Debbie dies, they start raising money. And so it's kind of the overall general story. It was mm-hmm. also made into a movie, which I highly recommend if you can. Same title, Same Kind of Different as Me. The second book, Working Our Way Home, after Debbie died, Ron actually is living in a billionaire mansion. He invites Denver in to live with him.
Mm-hmm.
Now that sounds pretty simple. You bring this guy into your house. Denver was a con on the street his entire life. He'd never lived in a home, some shacks in Louisiana, but never in a home. He didn't know what light switches were. He didn't know what running water was. I mean, he had to be taught everything, and it was crazy. He didn't read. He didn't write. They got into all kind of trouble. They taught him how to drive. They bought him a new Escalade. He'd start driving. He had no idea where he was. He'd get a call. He's three states over.
Actually kind of sounds like one of my relatives a little bit.
Yeah.
Not knowing directions.
So the second book, Working Our Way Home, is the story of the 10 years that Ron and Denver lived together and all the craziness that happened in their lives. And yes, they were still out. You know, they wrote these two books. They raised money with the books, what they were doing to build homeless shelters all over the world. And eventually, Denver dies in 2012. So Debbie dies in 2000. They lived together for 10 years. Denver dies in 2012. And since 2012, like this conference I was just at, Ron did meet somebody a few years later after Debbie died. They eventually get married, I think around 2010. His new wife was with him at the conference. And he said, how would you like to be my wife? Our whole existence is me talking about my former wife and this ex-con that I lived with as we go out and raise money to build shelters. But his second wife is just as committed as the first wife was to what they're trying to do. So it was just an incredible true life story. It's documented in both of these books. It really does give all of us reason to stop and pause about the issue of homelessness. Because most people don't want to see what's on the street. They don't like looking at it. They just want it to go away. It's somebody else's problem. Why don't they get an education? Why don't they get a job? Why doesn't family take care of them? It's not that simple. It's a very complicated problem. And that's what the book really goes into. That's what Denver tried to teach Ron. In the end, they both desperately needed each other because Ron's whole view of life changed. It wasn't about money. He was a very self-centered guy. It wasn't about that. He learned to invest in other people. Obviously, Denver had a lot of challenges living on the street. And here he became the man of the year, philanthropist of the year, being given awards, eating in the White House twice for the work he was doing with the homeless. In fact, he had dinner with George H.W. Bush and Barbara twice. And his saying for that was, I went from living in the bushes to eating with the bushes.
That's awesome. So was there anything eye-opening for you about homelessness or what the reality of homelessness is, either from listening to the talk or reading either of those books?
Really, really complicated situation. Hard for those of us who don't live in the streets to even have an idea of what's that like, because we have a lot of stereotypes and we try to categorize those people or make assumptions about those people. They're people. Just like we are, and that's kind of the name of the book, same kind of different as me. Denver used to say is whether you're rich or poor or something in between, the earth is not our final resting place. So in a way, we're all homeless. We're all just working our way toward home, meaning heaven. That was a simple look at life. But the idea that we're all different, same kind of different as me, meaning we all have got our issues, and whether you're on the street or you're not, we've all got our issues. So for me, it's just trying to see the people in the street in a different light, that they're people, they're loved, they're deserving of our attention. It's not necessarily the hamburger or the dollar, but do we stop long enough to make a connection? Because that's what Debbie made Ron do. She made Ron have a connection with Denver. And even though Denver didn't want that, he didn't care about people, they forced each other to understand each other. And out of that became a really weird friendship where craziness was all over the place. But the issue for me is it's so easy to love those that are lovable or those that I think are lovable.
Right.
But we're called, can you love even the unlovable? And truly, when Ron and Debbie met Denver, he was unlovable. He was a violent, ex-con, brutal person on the street. He wasn't lovable at all. And yet these two books just show you the love affair that happened in these three people and the change that happened in these three people.
Do you have any readers in particular that you would recommend these books for?
Katie, you.
Me?
I think you specifically. I think, you know, whether you read the book or you watch the movie, I hope it tugs at anyone's heartstrings. Because I think all of us get caught up in our own world. So whether the issue, your issue is homelessness or not, because even after I've read the books and watched the movie, you know, I think to myself, you know, I can go on their website and I could give money. That's Ron's cause. That's Denver's cause. It's not necessarily mine. I mean, my causes could be very, very different. But it is an eye-opener to me, and I think anybody that reads it, but what is our cause? You know, my time, talents, and energy could be used for any of a number of things, and it may not be the same as yours, and it may not be the same as Ron's or for Denver's, but am I contributing to something in this life to make my life better and someone else's life better? So in that regard, I don't care who you are. This is reality. This is our world that we're in. And it's not a happy story in a lot of cases. It's a dirty, wow, I don't even know how, it's just, it's raw.
I think homelessness is on the rise, I think. So.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. Go down to Houston at Minute Maid Park, Tent City, right outside of Minute Maid. So just think about that. 40,000 people a night are watching a baseball game that costs $50 or $100 for a ticket. A family of four, you know, probably pays $100, $150 for tickets and throw in food and hot dogs and drinks and whatever. It's probably a $200 night for four, maybe. And there's people in tents right outside the street that don't have a dollar. And when people drive past them every day, do they even see those people? And if they see the mess that they're living in out there, what's the thought that's in their head? I wish this was gone. I wish when I was going to the ballpark, I didn't have to look at that. That's probably what most people see, as opposed to those are real people with real lives. I mean, what separates me from somebody else that's living in the street? I was afforded a different quality of life. I was blessed into that, but that could be me.
Was there anything else you wanted to add about either book?
No, I think what I would add is take the time to go out and read it. Take the time to go out and watch the movie, either one of them, and then just ask yourself the same question that I'm asking myself every day. What difference can I make?
So I know the movie has already been made. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about the casting decisions?
Well, see, there's your pictures on that one. Renee Zellweger is Debbie Hall.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
Yeah, big time stuff. And all of the actors and actresses that were pricked did a brilliant, brilliant job. And what they did was they tried to understand the story deeply. So they spent a lot of time with Ron Hall to really understand this whole thing. And what was Denver really like? What was Debbie really like? So that the characters could portray as close as possible in the movie what really happened. Now, there's always literary license in books and movies and
right.
whatnot. But I saw there's a piece of the DVD that's as long as the movie where Ron Hall is narrating what's going on in the story and what happened in real life while the movie's kind of playing
wow.
in the backdrop. And he walked away saying, other than a very couple of things that they approved of, it is spot on mm-hmm. to what the life of the story was. And they captured the characters brilliantly. So, incredible movie. Ron Hall and his father had no relationship. You see the father a couple of times, and I wish I could remember his name because he's famous too. But he's famous. Voight? John Voight? But he said that he played his father to the T. His father was a drunk who was abusive, not to his wife. He was just very, very hard. And his son never saw him. Ron Hall never saw him when he wasn't drinking. Just a very, very hard man. And Denver caused Ron to heal that relationship with his father. Ron had no desire because every time he'd come out there, his father didn't even like Denver either.
Yeah.
But Denver had a thing, you and your father blessed you. He brought you in this life. I don't care whether you like what he's doing or is not. You have to have a relationship with him. And so as bad as things got with his father, as bad as things got between he and Ron, towards the end, Ron kept going out and visiting him. And in the end, his father absolutely stops drinking. And for the last couple of his years of his life, really embraced both Ron and Denver. So another great new story. Things don't always turn out good. But again, it was Denver's prompting. Here's this guy that doesn't read, doesn't write, lives on a street, violent guy, who's giving these very prophetic words to people and won't let people just, because I don't like what you're doing or because I don't like what you're saying, I'm just going to disconnect from you. Denver wouldn't let people do that. And he forced Ron back into a relationship with his father that in the end was a blessing when his father died.
So I think that's it, unless there was anything else.
Yeah.
Nothing else for me. I hope you enjoy it. For everyone that has the opportunity, buy the books or come to my office. I'll give you the books or watch the movie. But let's all work on where we can connect and what difference we can make in this life.
I think that's a good way to end a podcast.
Yes, it is. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Bye.
Bye.